All right, we're live. Hello, dear starshines. Welcome to another edition to the Lunchtime Chats. Hello, dear sister Beverly. Good to see you. Hello, Creating Momentum. Good to see you, darling, and Luna Rio. Nice to see y'all. For the rest of you who are watching, just say hi. Let me know you're here. For those of you who are new, either live or listening to the recording, my name is Christina, and I am an acceleration expert. That is a consciousness acceleration expert. And we are here to talk about those topics and issues that are significant for us star seeds and way showers, new paradigm visionaries. We have capacities, abilities that our larger human family doesn't embrace. So therefore we have a different way of relating to the things happening in our reality at this time. And I'm here to talk to those topics and issues on the level that we're at with it. And hopefully, I definitely do my best to give you guys a liberated perspective to some of these pieces that perhaps confuse us or weigh us down, or, you know, we have not yet discovered that new empowered sovereign relationship to. Okay. So that's why we're here. And today I have some things to talk about. We're coming off of a really beautiful weekend. We just did our life, death, and dream time intensive. And wow, is mostly what I have to say about that. What a beautiful group of starshines. We're still processing so much as we unwound so many things between the veils, reclaiming our birthright, reclaiming the dying process, reclaiming the journey of the afterworlds. I mean, in the dream time, so many levels. It was really, really profound. And I know we could have not have gotten as far as we did if it wasn't for the amazing starshines showing up so fully and authentically in the way that they do. This community is like no other. So, I'm mentioning this because I know a lot of us starseeds, way showers, we're kind of like we beat to the rhythm of our own drum, and we don't necessarily have deep relationships, maybe one or two, depending on our circumstance, but we don't have like super deep relationships where people truly see us and we can truly be seen. You know, it's like it helps us get past some deep programmed inhibitions when we're with people on our level, with no pretense, with just, you know, desire to be in connection and authentic with, and as starseeds, as beings that can see beyond, as multidimensional humans, when we're connecting with other humans in that way, it's just the potential for transformation, liberation just exponentially goes through the roof. And, you know, after there was a lot of energy that we processed, and on my way home from that, I was just, you know, imagining like, what would this look like if there was an entire city of beings connecting like this? If there were entire groups of multidimensional and in mass coming together like this, and the feeling, the vision that starts to come is that, you know, the problems that we have wouldn't exist, number one, because it would be obvious. Lies of manipulation wouldn't exist in the way that they would, because it's so obvious. We're so tuned into our truth compass. We're so tuned in to the truth of who we are that, you know, the clarity is just there, the intuitive clarity, the precognitive clarity, you know, all the different ways of perceiving without eyes would be so crystal clear. And I hold inside myself the time when that is the predominant reality, because really this truly would be a magical wonderland, this realm, if more of us got together and lived this way, you know. So that's just a little bit about that. That was our module one in our Healer Acceleration Lab, which is all about death rites. And in this particular flavor, it was life, death, and dream time. We were looking at what hinders us from truly living. What are our back doors to actually having the life of our dreams? Like, truly, what do we want? You'd be surprised what most people want. It has nothing to do with money or status or what the classic idea of success. What most people want is, you know, to be at service, to be in connection, to, you know what I mean, to have the opportunity to bring beauty and upliftment into the lives of the folks around them. And so we looked at, you know, what's in the way of that happening, ancestrally, what's in the way of that happening. And we were going, dipping in and out between the veils with the assistance of our ancestors to pinpoint exactly where the seeds of those inhibitions began. And of course, we unwound them through the death rite process. Absolutely phenomenal work, all of you guys, phenomenal work. And of course, this translates into the dream realms. And, you know, I just want to mention in many, all right, I don't know if many is quite the right word, but in more than one tradition that I'm aware of, that they, the ones that are not touched by the ideas of Christianity and other sorts of traditional Judeo-Christian religions, where the word soul is used, they don't use the word soul in these more indigenous shamanic traditions. They refer to that aspect of us as our dream body. So with that, you can see that there's this connotation that who we are without a body is very, very closely related, if not the same, as who we are when we are in our dream time. You know, the consciousness of who we are is that accessible within the dream realm. So lots of realizations, lots of transformations. Hello, Clary. Welcome. Hey, Sherry. And I'm so grateful that we got to do that and participate in the shifting of reality. Now, I'm just I just want to mention this because this is going to tie in some of the many of the understandings that came forward in our weekend is going to tie into the things that I talk about today. Our dear sister, Starshine, Creating Momentum, asked a very significant question. And darling, you don't realize how on par you are with the collective. What you were asking was a very potent collective dilemma, you know, that we're in. So this is why I want to talk about it, because when you were asking, for those of you that want to go to this from the beginning, there's a video, one of the clips from our last chats, where our dear sister Starshine was talking about, she put in some comments there asking a question, and I'll get to the question in a minute. But I feel like, darling, the reason why that question was so difficult to dial into is because you have your individual experience, but this is a collective pattern that's emerging that I feel like you're trying to put words into. And I told you that I would just tune in and do the best that I can to speak to it. And I have, and this is why I'm talking about it at this level, because I realize, this is a much bigger, I want to say, gridwork system that's been framing up our reality. So so I'm going to talk about that. Hello, dear sister Ella. Good to see you. All right. So getting to the question. So I'm just going to paraphrase the question and understanding. And that is that in general, and dear Starshine, of course, let me know the way I have that is resonating for you. The question was around the noticing the significant juxtaposition between harmonic energies and disharmonic energies. And I don't mean like recognizing, oh, that's disharmonic. It's really about being aware of what is harmonic for you particularly, and versus being aware of what is disharmonic for you. So I love this way of speaking because it's beyond the good, bad, right, wrong polarity. It's more of frequency matching, harmony. Where's the harmony at? And she was trying to put her finger on the sense that the things that are disharmonic are really maybe exaggerated bringing a strong awareness that even more discernment needs to be like heightened discernment. Like now maybe you limited your exposure to this disharmonic energy. Now, instead of just limiting it, maybe completely just cut it out all the way. You know what I mean? It's like there's this this leveling up that's going on. And the leveling up means we need to hold our energy with stronger integrity, as in the compromising is the bar for that is completely changed. It's not the same. It's not the same that it maybe it was yesterday, the day before, last year, or 2 years ago, whatever. You know, it's like how it was is not how it is now. And there's lots of things to explain to set up this perception that I'm talking about. And so I'm going to do the best that I can about this, because this is a subtle awareness. So going into nesting dolls. All right. So back in the day, these chats used to be activations according to the practice taught by Barbara Hanclough, where I would do 9-dimensional activations. Now, there are more dimensions than that. And that particular model that Barbara teaches is actually the model of the control system, believe it or not. I mean, this is something I realized later. Not that I think that there's anything wrong with learning how to work that system, but there are some key truths within that particular system. So before I get into the key truths, I just want to point out why I recognize as part of the control system. And that is that the last I heard from her, this was several years ago, things may have changed since then. I really haven't been paying attention to other people's teachings around that in that way. But what it is that she finally realized and was able to logically argue to prove that our biosuits are 11th dimensional. Okay, our brains specifically are 11th dimensional. And that realization that she had, and I didn't go through and actually she didn't show up for that talk that she was going to explain the the layout of how it's provable, but that was the door to opened the door to my understanding. Sorry, when I go altered, I start talking backwards. this is the actual control system that is what it looks like. And so it was that 11th dimensional piece that she talked about, and the fact that the model talks about the center of the Milky Way galaxy being a black hole. Okay, so those things put together is what started to frame up in my awareness that, oh my gosh, this is why these teachings were so important for the Palladians to bring forward, was because we needed to recognize just how deep the rabbit hole goes to the control system, okay? And when I talk about control system, this is where I start going into the ideas of the interdimensional, multidimensional empire system, okay? So this is Galactic Federation. This is the hierarchy of the empire, right? Now, good, bad, right, or wrong, doesn't matter. It's like, does it resonate to be in that system or not? For me, I am very deeply connected into the cosmic mother force. And cosmic mother has no control systems. It's just flow of energy. It's just the freedom of being. It's the activation of what some might call the Christos consciousness. I don't like that term either, but it's used a lot to something that summarizes what I feel like is the higher truth for me. And this is where you start getting into the different cat people races. This is where you start getting into the races that seeded, whose DNA has been seeded within our particular race that go beyond the confines of the galactic mind, the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, I know this is way out there, but this is all has to frame up with what she's talking about. This is why it's so important that we pay close attention to this piece. When we have something in our face that we have aversions to or difficulty with, or something that just keeps showing itself over and over again, and we're not getting to why, okay? This is what I'm speaking to, the layers of this. So the DNA seeding of beings that were beyond the galactic mind, beyond the Milky Way, are also getting activated within us, which means we are waking up beyond the control systems and into cosmic awareness. And this is also where where dragon energies come in, intact, healed, whole dragon energies are coming from. There are still a lot of mutilated and dismemberment in the dragon consciousness that is in that control system. But I'm talking about the holistic oneness ones, you know, the ones that have been, that are whole, both in their integrity of being in from head to tail intact, but then also united with its counterparts. So male, female is a way to explain that. So that has woken us up to these cosmic levels that are beyond empire, which is beyond the actual system that she taught. Okay. again, I love Barbara. I love her work. She's amazing. There's not a single thing that she's ever put out there where I wasn't completely activated by. And I'm sure many of you have shared in that experience. She is a way shower of many generations of multidimensional beings on this planet. That's the simplest way to say it. But this system was important for us to learn so we can, because it gives us a foundation to bounce out of it, to expand beyond it, okay? So when the finite system of life force energy, the top of the ladder of the interdimension, the dimensional nesting dolls is what we might refer to as 12D. And the liberated, free-flowing, non-domesticated by empire levels of consciousness go to four. All right, so the outer nesting doll is 14, and then it starts starting over. Then it starts over again, and this can go out exponentially to many hundreds of dimensions. Okay, but the point is that the threshold of expansion beyond the who you think you are is at that 14 dimensional level. Okay. And yes, there are ideas of who we think we are at that cosmic level. Some have suggested calling it ego, cosmic ego. I don't necessarily like that term. It doesn't feel quite right for me, but that's the idea. So I'm not the only one that's sharing this, you know, that has these thoughts. So that frame up, that this nesting doll reality is true whether you're in the control system or not. And there are some baseline truths to this nesting doll reality. And for example, cymatics, sound creates shape, sound creates form. Okay, that is a deeper truth, that no matter what kind of, what form of that reality you're in, that is a baseline. Everything is created from this river of life force energy. And we create whatever we want with this river of life force energy. And we can create beautiful things, or we can create horrific things, or a spectrum in between. It's completely up to us, because of the depth of love we're held in by our own creator source. Okay, so I'm describing these nesting dolls and how they work. And of course, there's frequencies that are baseline frequencies to these different holographic experiences. And so that's where things like scalar energy comes in. And we can revisit the baseline frequencies of these realities to reset things and unplug from different programs that are deeply seated in our subconscious. And particularly when we're talking about frame-ups that keep us in a particular angle to reality, where we're not able to get to the right question to actually realize what we need to realize to free ourselves from this, from a particular dynamic. And this is one of the quotes that we put out in our in social media that our dear sister Laurel loves to use, and that is that there is something that we do not know that which will change everything. Okay. The reason why we get in a loop and with our intuitive senses, and we're not able to get to that one thing that would change everything, is because of the frame up. We're not able to get to the right question. Okay. When we're kept from being able to ask the right question I'm just talking about energies that resist us getting there. Then that's something that's going to keep us in the loop. So this is why we want, and this is why we track in groups, that we want multiple perceptions of something so we can loosen up our frame up of how we think it is. This is why it's so important to get to know the argument, or get to know the perspective that's very different than yours. Not that you need to take it in, but it's really so you can feel what's happening inside of you when you're experiencing a perspective that's different than yours, because that is going to show you how attached or not attached you are to your frame up. Okay, I know, bear with me. I just need to set these pieces up to get to the point. All right. So we have the way we see things and the how we think things are. And then we have our feelings about how we think things are. And then we have our feelings about how, about the unknown, okay? Okay, how about now? The sound working now? The sound test says that it's working. How is it? You guys let me know. Is the sound thumbs up? It's back. Okay. Well, that was interesting. Shoot, I wasn't paying attention, so I don't know where that left off, guys. Yay, the sound's back. Yeah, thank you for that. Where did that leave off? Can you guys help me so I know where to go back to? Because I'm layering things in so there's a good understanding of this piece. Yeah, the last part shared. That's what I need to do. Did the fourth dimension part, the 14th dimension part, was that coming through? The part about the underlying reality, the frequencies of the underlying reality, this holographic field? Loops. Oh, good, loops. Okay, so that is intuitively when we're not able to perceive the right question to ask to get us out of a loop. Yes? Okay, hopefully that's it. Guys, please confirm. Creating Momentum said no, so I'm not sure which part you're saying no to because there's a pretty significant delay. Okay, now it's a yes. Okay, all right, so good. So it didn't. So we're in these loops, right? And we, in our perspective, we get stuck in a particular pattern of thinking and feeling, so we're not able to get past it to change the frame up of our questions. Okay, so now, once we get more comfortable with the unknown, and you can tell how uncomfortable you are, you can test yourself to see how truly, there's no sound again? It's gone again? Okay. Please, let me know. Let me go in the audio here. Oh, it says I have sound. My sound is working. Okay. There is. Okay. So dear sister Starshine with no sound, it's everybody else says it's okay. It might be yours. Okay. Check your system. Mine looks like it's five. It's doing 5x5. Okay. Going back to where was I at? I was talking about the loops and the frame ups. Okay. Yes. So if you want to test yourself to see, because, you know, we can tell ourselves, oh, yeah, I'm good about the unknown. But here's the thing. The stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves, I can tell you 99.9% of the time are not true. Because it's all in a frame up. Okay, because we want to think inside we might be hard about ourselves. But when we're telling ourselves stories about ourselves, we are enforcing an idea of who we think we are, okay? So maybe we want to think that we're enlightened, or maybe we want to think that we're evolved or multidimensional or fully awakened, or we want to imagine that we are truly sovereign. But here's the thing, these are all rabbit holes that don't have any ending to them. It's that infinite onion. So we can't necessarily believe the stories we tell about ourselves, okay? This is important. And if you want to truly test yourself on how you are about going into the unknown, so, you know, get outside the story and actually say, okay, yeah, I'm curious. How am I truly when I'm faced with the unknown? Okay. And the way to give yourself a litmus test is to engage with somebody that has a completely different view than you about something. Okay, that is going to show you how strongly you have attachments to your frame-ups to reality. Now, I'm not saying we need to make an enemy out of our ego driver. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we have certain attitudes, frame-ups, programmings, all this stuff going on in our subconscious is that we really, truly can't know until it's presenting itself in front of us, okay? And I know thyself is something that is a game changer in your personal journey, but understand, know thyself is a frame up of an attitude. It is not a destination, okay? Yeah, okay, so Beverly is saying lose a job. That's the true test in the unknown. Yes, having to let go of something that you really don't want to or has a lot of grief, a lot of grieving that needs to happen in order to let it go. That's a thing. We have a dear sister commenting, saying that I count on the unknowable to know. It is the one thing that never changes for me, no matter what new stuff I learn. It is the peace, P-E-A-C-E, that passes understanding. Okay, so let that sink in, what she's saying. So this is an example of how we track into things, like the energy behind the words, okay? Because we have amazing wordsmiths in this reality, right? And so, for example, there's something that she's saying here. I don't know if I completely understand, but I can feel the energy inside my body. And so this is how you would track energy behind the things that people say. And this is one of the pieces that we really worked a lot on the weekend, because there's what people say, and then there's the actual subconscious reason why they're saying it. You see what I'm saying? So this is so helpful when you are in a community of people that are committed to the truth. So here's the thing. Truth isn't, oh, I think that's true. No, truth is an energy. Truth is an energy that once realized, one you feel now liberated by, okay? And I have a beautiful example, it's a very recent example of a dear starshine in our community. So how this went down was, you know, we have a group of people. Everybody, of course, has ancestors they want to work with, or they want to work with something specific with them. Or there were some people there that their ancestors really wanted to show up for them and help them, facilitate a transformation. And other people really wanted to facilitate a transformation or a liberation for their ancestors. You know, things went in different directions like that. And there was a particular starshine whose father was showing up, the spirit of their father was showing up a lot. And of course, there were lots of beings, lots of energies showing up a lot. The whole thing was guided by our ancestors and our deeper levels of self, our dream bodies, so to speak, AKA soul level. And we would work until we were tired, you know? And of course, you know, doing energy work when you're really altered for long periods of time, that takes energy, it's tiring. And we got to the last day, and I pretty much said that, you know, we're gonna go until we can't go anymore. We're just gonna hammer everything out that's left to be done, you know? And I was saying that to the group, but I was also saying that to the ancestors, that we are showing up for everything to make sure it all comes full circle today. So even if we're working till 1 a.m. or whatever, we're going to do that. And so we do our process, and we're finishing up kind of early. And I'm like, I felt like, you know, we would go later than we did. And our dear starshine in the group didn't speak up that she wanted death rites done for her dad, even though her dad was really present. For many reasons. She didn't speak up in the moment with the group and to me at the time, so we would get it done, right? And then afterwards, there were a lot of feelings about that, you know, a lot of hard feelings about that. I don't know about a lot, but there were strong feelings about that. And then it didn't get fleshed out until the following day, because a lot of the people had a delayed exit, you know, a delayed departure. So people came to my hotel room, and we hung out and played and did stuff with the Rife machine and stuff like this. And then it came out that she was actually very, very upset about this. And there was, you know, there are different things going on. And we all showed up in the way that we do. And we all spoke with clarity, the truth to each other. And it was liberating. It was liberating for her to be able to say it and not be pushed back on. You know what I mean? It's like, I hear, there was a lot of that actually that day. Of, oh, I'm triggered, this triggers me about this, and oh, this bothers me about that, you know. And it was really good, because we were able to really be seen in the things that bother us in different ways, and it be completely okay and be received and heard, and you know what I mean. And then because that lack of resistance was happening, it was like the immediate thought feeling frame up can be spoken about, released, And now the terrain is clear inside to get what's underneath that. And that's really what I'm getting to. There's something underneath these pieces. And later on, to your sister Starshine, because she's diligent in her personal reflections, was able to get to the piece that, you know, she didn't speak up. She was able to own that she didn't speak up. And there was a reason why she didn't speak up. And deep, deep down, it was because there was some part of her was holding on. Some part of her was not ready, didn't feel ready or wanting to truly let go of her dad yet. And that is why she didn't speak up. It wasn't because we weren't paying attention or we were neglectful or anything like that, or we didn't care, which is the surface story, right? But once you get past the surface story, then there's the real story underneath of why that's happening. And this is what I mean about there's energies underneath all the stories that we tell ourselves. That really was a true feeling that she was having about being upset about not getting death rites done for her dad. She really felt that way. And she spoke it out loud, and it was met with holding space for and listening. And she was able to speak that layer out loud so she can get to the layer underneath. Because she did say she felt much better just being able to say it, just able to look at me and say it, you know, and look at us, the group, and say it, you know. So the stories that we tell ourselves 99.9% of the time are not the truth, not the deeper truth. It's the story of what we think is and why we think it is and the feelings, right? And then you can ride, if you can drop that as a frame up to the reality, right? Not an actual core truth inside, right? Then you can get to the energy underneath. And it was that truth of, oh my gosh, I'm still holding on because I'm not ready to let him go. That truth was so liberating for her. And it was liberating to hear her share her truth like that. Okay. Once she got to the real truth of what was going on within the dream body, that liberated everything. And at that point, there was no good, bad, right, or wrong. There was no fault anywhere. There was no falling short anywhere. That energy of the truth just completely cleared the air. And there were no hard feelings about anything, only gratitude for getting to the truth. Okay. So this is what I mean about the energy of the truth liberates. It's not the truth of the, it's not you defending your story of who you think you are as the truth. No, 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 no. It's about the deeper truth, the part of you beyond the ego driver, the dream body self, that truth. That is what liberates. Okay? I know it's taking me so long to frame it up. All right, darlings, thank you so much for your patience on that. I just needed to get to those layers. So remember, we have all these nesting dolls participating in our here and now reality. And there's all sorts of layers within those nesting dolls that infiltrate certain thoughts and feelings. So we have the stories that we think are the truth, and then we have the real truth that's underneath them. So how you get to that real truth as the listener is notice what's happening in your body when you hear someone sharing something. Because what's happening in your body when you hear something that someone's sharing, that is the pathway to the deeper truth. Okay. If you just buy into the story of what someone is saying as the truth beyond, you know, like the definition of what's happening, now you're colluding in with their story. So now we're at that place of what is it to hold space for someone to share their story so they can be seen and recognized. Now, if you're holding space for someone to share the story and you're like, oh yeah, well, that's all bullshit. It's all a story, la, 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 la. That's not holding space. Holding space for someone to share their story is really holding space and honoring that they are having a feeling, a thought, an experience that they need to share. That's what holding space for someone's story is. And when you hold space like that, as you truly want to see, feel, connect, understand, right, then they can share their story. And in the sharing, they feel freed up. They don't feel freed up because you're sharing, because you're giving, you know, you're saying, oh, well, that's just a story and that's not even true. No, 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 no. They feel liberated because they've been seen. So that part of the story can be let go of. that layer of what's framing up the reality can now move because it's been acknowledged and witnessed, and they can get to something deeper. That's what truly holding space for a story is about. It's not about telling people they're full of shit. Okay. Really, let's face it, we're all full of crap. We all believe our stories. We all believe it. But having someone tell you that isn't helpful. What's helpful is being witnessed and being able to explain a thought, a feeling without any kind of projection of judgment or shame or anything like that. It's just someone truly wanting to hear and honor how you feel, your perspective, all that. And then you can let it go and get to the deeper piece. Okay. That's so, so important, because this other piece that our dear sister Starshine is talking about, creating momentum, where she's saying about this really strong feeling about this disharmonic with, you know, where there's not frequency matches. It's like almost, I want to say, exaggerated. And when something's getting really strong and capturing your attention, okay, that's the key piece. It keeps capturing your attention. That is a sign. That is an indication that there's something you haven't seen yet that your dream body wants you to see. Okay. There's something you haven't been able to get properly framed up to for you to get liberated by the witnessing of. Okay. So you're watching something and you're doing your typical reality management. You're doing your typical reality management to, you know, manage your peace, to keep yourself, your energy within integrity of how you, that you know is proper for you, that's good for you, that's nurturing and healthy for you, right? But it keeps happening, right? It keeps showing itself. It keeps coming forward, right? So please let me know if I'm off at all and how I'm saying these pieces. This is how I feel like the explanation, what you're trying to explain. Anyway, and the reason why it keeps coming up, the reason why it keeps happening, or why it's so strong and has your attention, is because there's something to be recognized in that. And maybe the habitual way, the traditional perspective you have, or the default perspective that you have, is falling short for you to sit back and ask that one question that's going to change everything. Okay? It's like something is holding you in a particular frame up to it, where you're not quite able to get to that magic question that within is the answer, right? That question that will take you to the one thing that will change everything for you. Okay? You see what I mean? All right. Hopefully I didn't lose you, dear sister. We're creating momentum. Please let me know. I may have lost you with the whole taking forever to get to the point, but I had to frame it all up to get to a freer, open understanding. Okay, good. All right, let me know if this is in touching on where you're trying to go with the in question. All right, in the meantime, I'm going to read a few comments here by our dear sister Felicia. All right, I read that part already. All right, the energy of the truth liberates is an experience I had often in my early consciousness work. It doesn't happen on this place in my journey, more holographic in releases. I witness it in awe. Okay, I'm going to. Okay, I'm seeing if I understand exactly what you mean. I'm just feeling into it. Not familiar with this kind of story, but I sense my consciousness learning, expanding, being nurtured. Okay. So there are lots of different frame-ups we can hold in our awareness at the same time. And this is showing us that our mind is becoming more and more flexible. And this is a this is an important piece to allowing our awarenesses to expand and really be engaged in this reality, okay? Because this reality is framed up in a certain way that actually is very, very skewed to the actual truth of how this reality operates. And yes, frequency, the power of frequency is definitely getting explored and rediscovered within the collective of humanity, but there's so much more than that. There's so much more to it than that. Our thoughts, our feelings, everything has a frequency to it. And when we're able to recognize frequency more than story, then, you know, we're really working with an awareness that can change our reality. Well, stories can change your reality too, but you know what I mean? You're really working with something that allows more ease with the shifting of the frame-ups of your reality. All right, let me touch on Sister Luna Rio says, for me, this is showing up in relationships. I think I have a fear of being in a relationship, so I keep choosing to be in long-distance relationships. Yes. And that is a rabbit hole that goes so deep, because there are memories within the, not just the Akasha, but in the halls of Amenti, there are residual memories of having our divine counterparts, hijacked from us, you know, which means on a deep subconscious level, anybody we go into relationship with in this human form, we know is not going to be that one divine. And I don't want to say there's only one soulmate. I don't mean it like that. I mean it that it's an energy consciousness signature that is a perfect frequency match for us. And that was hijacked in many nesting dolls out here. So there's a sense of whatever relationship we get into, it's not going to be that. And we're trained to have this weird misperception that of what a romantic relationship looks like, what it is to be in love, what it is to, you know, be in relationship and partnership. We have this really bass-ackwards frame up that sets us up to have unrealistic expectations for ourselves and other people. So when you're multidimensional and we're very intuitive, it's like there's a part of us that never really settles into that skewed frame up. So it's almost hopeless at some times to think that we could be in a loving, nurturing relationship. And the fact is, it's not true. We can be in a deep, connective, loving relationship. We just need to be in proper relationship with ourselves so we can let go of those expectations. So what we're magnetizing to us is equally as deep, as mature, as connective, as, you see what I mean? We quite literally create our frequency matches. And that actually gets to another point that I wanted to make in this that I'm so glad I have some time to make. Thank you, Luna Rio. All right, you totally like intuitively brought me to this point that I want to talk about. And that is, there are nesting dolls that are incepted with things that are the opposite of who we are. And that means those thoughts, feelings, beliefs in those grids, in those nesting dolls, are counter to our true energy signature. And for a very long time, our reality was hijacked with that experience of opposites attracting. Okay, I don't mean male, female, I mean opposites. I mean black, white, dark, light. This is partially why women still to this day are really attracted to the bad boys, right? Because we're attracted to the opposite of who we are, the opposite of what we want. And we pull it in and then we make it, you know, it's all about our inadequacies on why we can't get the relationship we want with this opposite energy. Okay. So that has been melting away for quite some time. And for those of us who are going into that are in the multidimensional journey where we transcended the whole, religious game. I want even spiritual game. It's like, it's not a spiritual path anymore. This is something that is different. It's a completely different frame up. It's not about devotion. It's not about, except for the devotion to the truth, the devotion to knowing thyself, you know, any other kind of devotion to an external deity or to this being or that being or whatever, all of that is irrelevant once you start on that sovereign multidimensional journey. It's about the devotion to knowing thyself, right? So there are humans still working themselves out of this opposite thing. And this happened actually in the exact same chat that our dear sister, Starshine, Creating Momentum was in. And this was someone who is watching this, you know, watching the chat. I mean, you guys, I'm very clear about what I'm saying. You know, it's like, I don't pretend to be in any kind of dogma about this or that. If anything, I encourage you to question everything that we think we know, because that is really, for me, a path of that's liberating, that's decoding this 4D field distortion. Anyway, so, but they were, you know, quoting something from the Bible, like there are no such thing as past lives. When I first read that, it's like, well, true. On a certain level, there are no past lives. That's not the truth. But we're in a linear frame up trying to explain something that's multidimensional. In another level of self, it's all happening simultaneously, right? But that's not what they meant. They actually meant that as like as a reference, because the Bible doesn't talk about it. And then we have another Starshine chiming in who knows the Bible really well. It says, what are you talking about? And she actually started putting in specific verses that mention reincarnation, which was pretty funny. But what my point in that is that they feel drawn to engage with something that isn't in alignment with them. That's the point. There's something in these grid works that kept humanity drawn into something that's not in resonance with them. So we are subconsciously drawn to things that keep up the war inside, keep up the fight, keep up the resistance, keep up the feeling of opposition. Okay. That's what I saw unfolding in that conversation, was that this particular starshine that is heavy in the religious dogma is drawn to this because they are drawn to the fight. They are drawn into the opposite. They're still in touch with that grid work that tells us we're not good enough. And then, you know, brings us into all of the opposite battles that need to be fought, that need to be held. Okay. This is a huge thing, because our dear sister Creating Momentum is has woken up out of that opposite game and is now being put on the path of alignment game, right? And that, everything changes when that happens. That means our yes for the truth of who we are, for the love of who we are, for the freedom, for the sovereignty of who we are is much stronger than the no. Okay. When the no is stronger, then we are in that frame of learning through aversion. We have to consistently experience what we don't want until we wake up to honoring thyself on a very deep level. Now it's about what we truly want. You see what I mean? We don't need the fight. We don't need the opposition in order to feel the truth inside, in order to get what it is we truly are resonating with inside. Okay. All right. Let me read a couple of these comments. All right. So our dear sister Felicia says, are men attracted to the bad girls for the same kind of experience? Yes, this happens for both sexes. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to say all sexes for those that have that non-binary narrative going on. See, even the non-binary narrative, by the way, is one of opposition. There are people that I've met that are truly non-binary, and they can be a beautiful man or a beautiful woman. I mean, truly. And they are these exquisite creatures that I just, you know, it's like I'm amazed by. But then there's those that are holding them on non-binary narrative in order to be in opposition to, okay? That is what I'm talking about. That's, you know, they're still in opposition versus truly honoring the truth of who they are. I was at a fairy portal, and there's this beautiful, beautiful Asian person there that, I mean, could have been a god or a goddess. And I sat there for the longest time trying to decide if they were male or female. And I never got to a clear, you know, one or the other, because the lesson that was being given there is what an expanded, liberated, multidimensional consciousness can look like in a human form. That's what was being shown to me, you know, and I was just really blown away. I was also super altered because we're by a fairy portal, but it was just like, wow, wow, wow. I'm getting a real lesson here about, you know, about what, you know, inhibitions and oppositions and alignments and all this stuff. But then I see people who are the non-binary that are, you know, in turmoil inside, and they're in a war, you know, and that war inside of themselves is getting expressed outside themselves, if you know what I mean. So there's that dynamic. That's where it's like, how do you relate to this? The kinds of narratives, of course, we have in our social frame up is all hostile. It's all hostile. And that's because the control systems benefit when we're at war within ourselves. Truly benefit. So coming back to the men and the bad girls, that's very, very true. And the other side of that is also, it's an addiction. There's an addiction to the drama. There's an addiction to the drama because the drama oftentimes translates into exciting sex. Okay, another level of harvesting. So so just to frame that up a little bit, there's lots of reasons and we're addicted to it until we're not, of course. And that's when that level of respect for thyself is much higher than the addiction, the payout, you know, dopamine hit from these experiences of the drama and the intensity. All right, Creative Momentum says, part of why that question came up yesterday was because that increased discernment on my end brought up conflict, and later on I noticed that I had self-judgment around it, felt radical. Yes, this is what I mean. Things come in, if they're getting your attention like that, there's a frame-up to be seeing. So nice. So you got to the point where you got to the level of, okay, there's an extreme piece in here and there's judgment. Now, I'm going to invite you to consider that judgment piece is still a surface thing. There's something else inside that is trying to reveal itself. Whether something is radical or not, that is a frame up only you can decide. Now, another person can share their perspective that they feel like what you're doing is radical. And that very well may be the truth in their reality. And you can honor that as being the truth in their reality. But it's not actually radical until you actually discover that inside of yourself. So it's like self-inquiry exponential. You know what I mean? Stillness is essential. Stillness, spaciousness is essential to get what to the truth inside is. And that was another theme that happened over the weekend. We really had to reinforce the importance of spaciousness. We need to have as much space as we need to have in order to get to these places inside of ourselves. Okay. And I think this is also speaking into intuitively why that radical, we'll just say, integrity keeping is happening. You know, why it's being framed up as radical. It's to tempt you to give yourself less space, if that makes sense. Okay. These nesting dolls of infiltration, like I said in the beginning, are vast, vast, vast. It hits us all the way up to the relationship to the frame ups that we have about Creator itself. So when we understand the vastness of the infiltration, that actually starts to change the kinds of questions we challenge ourselves with. Okay, and I'll leave it at that. We're at the top of the hour, so let me go ahead and hit this last comment, and then we're going to start to wind down. All right, so Luna Ria, so is that why I am attracted to the Matrix boys? I think that's the other layer, is that I'm afraid to fully move into multi-dimensionality. Yeah, so it is scary going into multi-dimensionality. And I want to confirm that for you. Even when we know we're fully supported going into it, it's because you have to cross through. All right, letting go of who you think you are is scary. That's true. But then letting go of the reality that you think is also is scary. And there is an overlap of those two pieces where you go through a long piece where you're quite literally having to question your sanity. And that is a very scary thing to pass through by yourself. You really need a community of people with you to help you navigate that overlapping zone where you are facing the questioning of reality completely and questioning who you think you are completely. That is something that, in my opinion, in what I experienced, only a community of people can really help you through that in a stable way. Now, that's not to say that's the only way. I'm just saying a stable way where you can pass through that zone with relatively large periods of peacefulness, of gracefulness, of gratefulness, of, you know what I mean, in frequencies that are less than intense. Okay, because questioning your reality, I'm talking about while you're sober and you're not on any kind of hallucinogenic. I mean, having things that only happen to people when they're tripping their balls off, but you're completely sober and awake and aware, that's scary. It just is. So working with the elemental beings is so helpful because they hold us in a very gentle way while we break through, shatter these realities of what we think is. So this is a major pivotal point in the awakening to self process. I visit my sanity every day. You know what I mean? I'll be honest with you guys. I do. But because I have this community and a support network around me that really, really keeps me in a place of stability or supports my inner stability inside, you know, because waking up to the reality of who we think of outside the reality of who we think is and what we think reality is, if be prepared to recognize that this entire unfoldment is a dream realm. It's a dream realm as much as your sleeping dream realm is a dream realm. And I'm not going to say that it's not real because your dreams are as real as this realm, okay? It's just that our reality is that malleable. And once you start getting to that kind of awareness, everything melts away. And it's scary. It is scary because who you think you are is not really the truth. You know, and holding yourself loosely so you can let things change and shift in front of you goes against the deep layers of infiltration in our reality. You know, we start getting on the radar of things that interdimensionally want to re-get command control of us. So there's a shadow piece to all this. This is why AI, I can talk about it the way I talk about it, because it's like, yeah, you know what? It's scary till it's not. It's hijacked your reality until it hasn't. You know what I mean? That's really how it is. It's that flexible, that malleable. So yeah. So hopefully this is helpful the way I'm coming full circle with this. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. How can we connect more with the elementals through meditation? You know, I would say connect more with, all right, so you have a meditation practice, that's great. Use your meditation to focus, to cultivate good focus. All right, I know I'm going over, but I'm just going to answer these questions. Use your meditation to cultivate good focus, good energetic hygiene, and stability inside of your energy field. And then use your waking world to engage with elemental forces. Your waking world as in spending time in nature. Your waking world as in using your creativity to create bridges of connection. using your waking world to bring your dream realm, in your sleeping dream realm, into the awakening, the energy of your sleeping dream realm into your awakening dream realm. That's the next step to really build that connection. Because quite honestly, we can talk with anything. We can engage with trees. We can engage with nature spirits. We can engage with devas. We can engage. We're naturally built for that. It's just all that, you know, layers of infiltration, those nesting dolls, that's what we're working through, you know. We're working through the parts that we've unknowingly colluded with and reinforced. Ancestor work, the same thing, you know. That would be the way to work that, I would say. Yeah, it's exhausting to resist. It is. It gets exhausting. But man, we're resisting for a reason. There's something inside of us that wants to fight. And that's what we need to get to. That's what we need to get to. So thank you guys for tuning in and having this conversation with me. Hopefully it was beneficial. You guys are sharing with me it was beneficial in certain ways, but also all of you listening in on this, either live or in the recordings, I hope this was beneficial for you to help liberate you from these pieces that hold our frame ups in a certain way, and of course the need to have an opposition. That's a huge wake-up call for humanity. That is going to liberate humanity in such a way where it's going to end all those leveraging narratives, all those narratives that manipulate us into thinking and feeling certain ways. You know, it would end all narratives that justify war, that justify the harm of any being, really. This is a huge game changer. So we digest it. It ripple effects interdimensionally to all the rest of the humans. And then because there's so many of us that are waking on this level, it exponentially increases the momentum. So keep up the great work, guys. Keep on keeping on. We've got this. As a collective, we've got this. And remember, it's not just us walking around in bodies. Our ancestors are working with us. The nature itself is working with us. We have quite literally an entire multiverse of beings working with us to wake up out of this shell of reality that we're calling human reality. So thank you all for doing your part. Thank you for being here. I encourage you guys, if you want to get more involved with our extraordinary community at Lightbody, a great way to dip your feet into the work is working with maybe the Sasquatch Initiation Group. That's a free group that Laurel does, or perhaps signing up for our Lightbody Essentials program, where it's three main group meetings a month, but we work at doing multidimensional activation work, we cleaning up the energy field, building a strong energy field, working with dream time. You know, really stepping into your multidimensional nature. It's a wonderful, you know, moderate committal way to get involved within the community. And you might ask, why do we need to make a commitment? Okay, and I do want to touch on this, because trust is built over time. And though people come into our community, and actually this just recently happened, Dear Starshine came in our community, and she is a perfect fit. She's totally one of us, right? Totally one of us. And what helps reinforce those connections is knowing that we're committed to showing up for each other, okay? And that builds deeper trust, deeper bonds. So that's why getting involved in our programs beyond just an activation here or an energy mastery clinic there or energy tracking clinic, any of those pieces, that community piece means, you know, when you're making that commitment, you're saying, I am committed to showing up each and every time we get together. You know what I mean? And that builds more connection, that builds more trust, that builds, you know, that's getting involved in a community that's getting involved with you. It's like we're committing to each other for showing up. And anyway, that's why it's like that. That's why it's a subscription model. So you're understanding that you want to get involved with a community on a longer term level, not just dipping in and out here and there, which you can do if you want. And if you're going to start dipping in, I would highly suggest the Sasquatch Initiation Group. All right, darlings, thank you. LifeBodyAcademy.com is our website if you want to check out the things we have. If you want to get on our emailing list, you will get the link to this chat emailed to you the following day so you can share it with other people. Like I said before, our chats are not in its full form, are not available on YouTube anymore, for the censorship game is getting kind of strong and we don't really want involved in that. So just so you guys know. Oh, there's a toucan that just landed on the tree right outside my window. How cool is that? What a wonderful way to conclude this chat. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.